Welcome to the International Community Church Podcast. For more information about International Community Church, visit us on the web at www.icchurch.us.
I was working in the garden yesterday and I thought I'd been delivered from the allergies, but as I've been sat there this morning, my throat is beginning to burn up and my head is swirling. So I'm going to choose to ignore it and trust God. But if my voice gets husky or I have to drink, you'll understand. Well, there may be a lot of people away today, but you know what? I'm glad that the Lord's here. Are you? Yes. Amen. And, you know, we don't always like talking about ourselves, do we? But we have a testimony today, and I'm sure my husband won't mind me sharing this because we shared it with the life group on Thursday. But my husband has been busy writing a book, and he's been doing it through the winter months, just when he could. If we were in on an evening, he'd be working hard writing this book as the Lord gave him the inspiration. And of course, when you write a book, it's not guaranteed to be published. You have to find someone that is willing to publish it. And so the Lord gave us this wonderful couple that used to be in our church in England, husband and wife, and they were both English teachers. Now, this man has written 50 books, over 50 books himself. And so when we were praying about Keith doing this book, we were asking the Lord and saying, well, who can we get to edit it for us? And the Lord gave us this couple's name. And so we got in touch with them, and they said it would be an honor for us to do that. We'd be delighted. And so they've been editing it for us and putting things together, and they've given us a lot of tremendous help. And he said to us when they came to our conference in October, last October, in Wales, and he said to us, to my husband, he said, now, Keith, he said, don't be disappointed if when you first get in touch with any publishers, they refuse to do it, because they don't always take everyone's book on. So you may get some no's, but keep going, and eventually you'll get a publisher that will publish it. Well, we prayed very much about it, and we believe that God laid this on my husband's heart to write this book. And so last week, last Tuesday, he sent all his material off via email to this first publisher, a well-known Christian publisher in America. And he said to me, well, Val, I've done it. Let's see what happens. That was on Tuesday. On Thursday, they called him up and they said, Mr. Tipple, we think your book is absolutely fantastic. And they said, we will publish it. Isn't that wonderful? And so they have taken over now, and they'll put the whole thing together. They'll do the front cover. They'll do everything. And then they will do a video clip, which will be publicized around on the book. And the book will be sold. They will put it in all the stores. That's what they'll be responsible for. All through America, Canada, Europe, United Kingdom, this book, they will get into the stores. I tell you that this morning only to give praise and glory to God. Because a few years ago, I said to my husband, I feel you should write a book. Oh, I can't do that, he said. I'm not clever enough for that. I said, Keith, I really do believe. I feel that you should write a book. And he laughed it off. And then we forgot all about it. And you know, sometimes or very often we feel that we are inadequate and that we're not able to do things. I'll be saying a little more about that in a minute. But you know, with the help and the grace of God, if anything's of God, God will give us the grace to do it. And so we thank God for his goodness and for his provision to us with this book. And, you know, we're looking to sow. We're always looking on how we can sow money constantly into the kingdom of God. And we all have talents. Some of them we know about, others may be hidden. But, you know, God can take our giftings and our talents and he can use them for his glory if we will allow him to. And so we give praise and glory to God for that this morning. Right, I want you to turn to your Bibles to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." I want to speak to you this morning on discerning and obeying the voice of God. Bill Hybels from Willow Creek gave me a better title for this sermon, this message. Bill Hybels talks about the whispers of God. Obeying the voice of God or the whisper of God. Now in John chapter 2, we've just read the account of the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Now I don't know about you, but I love going to weddings. And here was a wedding that was in full flow. The music was going, everybody was happy. People were dancing to the Jewish music, I'm sure. And, you know, I went to a concert once in Jerusalem when I was there. And my goodness, the Jewish music and the dancing is absolutely fantastic, I tell you. And so everything was in full flow. And then suddenly they hit a problem. And there was a murmuring going around the people, "The wine's run out. Hey, have you heard? The wine's run out." Now Jesus and his mother and the disciples, they were at that wedding. Because you see, Jesus, I'm sure, was a happy man to be around. And he had been invited to this wedding. And it was at that point when Mary heard the whisperings that the wine had run out. She turned to her disciples and she said, "Whatever he says to you, do it. Just do it." That was a profound statement. You see, I think that Mary at that point realized that this could well be the opportunity for Jesus to start to perform miracles. I could imagine as his mother, she was thinking, "Wow, the wine's run out. Jesus is here. Maybe this is the beginning of miracles." And so she went to Jesus and she said, Jesus, have you heard that the wine has run out? And Jesus turned to her and he said, woman, what is this to do with me? You see, at that point, Jesus was more or less saying, it's not time. It's not my time to work a miracle. But I believe, well, something happened at that moment in time that he thought that. And I believe the Father must have whispered in his ear. And he said, yes, it is. And so Jesus, he turned to his disciples and he said just what the scripture said. Go and fill the water pots. Go and fill the pots with water. Now can you imagine the disciples? They're thinking, water? Why is he telling us to fill it with water? We don't want water. We want wine. They must have had many questions going on in their head. And I can only imagine that as they were walking over to the pots, they were thinking, we're going to look right silly here, filling these with water. But do you know what? They did it. They did it. No questions asked. The scripture says that they went and did what Jesus told them. And then, of course, you know the rest of the story, how he changed that water into wine. Now, for his disciples to hear his voice at that time, it was easy. Because, you see, Jesus was there with them in the flesh. He was talking to them, just like we would talk with each other today in the flesh. But for you and I, it's a different story today because Jesus is no longer with us in the flesh, but he does reside in our hearts. And I want to tell you people this morning that God still speaks today. Now, when God speaks to us, what do we do with it? That's the most important thing. What do we do when God speaks? Because you see, everything that God says to us, everything he does for us, it's for one thing only. It's to glorify his name through us. And so God is constantly wanting to change us, speak to us, show us things in order that he might change us and make us better people for himself and to make us more effective in the world in which he has placed us. Now, many people come to me, and I'm sure they come to you as well, but down the years, many people have come to me and they've said, well, how does God speak? I never hear God speak. Well, I'm going to give you a few ideas of the ways that God speaks to us today. He could speak to us in an audible voice. I know people personally that have heard the audible voice of God. He could speak to you through a dream. For instance, my father-in-law got saved through a dream. He had no time for God. The rest of the family had all become Christians. But his father was stubborn. And there was no way he was going to come to church. There was no way he was going to become a Christian. He had his own life all mapped out. He thought he knew where he was going in life. But one night he had a dream. Now my father-in-law worked in the coal mine. And to get down to the pit bottom, as they called it, where they would go to get the coal, you would have to go down in what they called a cage. And one night, My father-in-law had a dream that he was going down in a cage, and him and Keith were together in this cage, and the cable snapped. All of a sudden, this cage was tumbling down. And suddenly, the top opened up and Keith shot out. And his dad shouted, "Keith! Keith!" And at that point, in his dream, God said, "Keith is safe, saved, and going to heaven. You are not." And that morning, that dream shook the life out of him. And that morning, as he walked over the field to the coal mine, he cried out to God and asked God into his life, asked him to save him. And so God can speak to us through dreams. He can speak to us through vision. He can give us a vision. I remember Carol Junker sharing with me that when she first became a Christian, or she first heard the gospel, she asked God and she said, "God, if you're real, then I want you to show yourself to me." And her story is that night she went to bed and the Lord came to her, appeared to her, and gave her a vision. And that's what convinced her that God was real. God can speak to us through people. He uses people. In counsel, in guidance, God can speak. Do you know that God can use you to speak to somebody else? You can offer them some counsel and guidance, but it's God that's speaking through you, that's using you to help another life. God can speak to us today through prophecy. I remember only too well of a girl of 15 years of age going every Sunday afternoon. My pastor would pick me up in this old minibus that was falling apart. You wouldn't be able to drive it, I'm sure, today. But we would go around the streets picking the children up for Sunday school. And I remember distinctly one Sunday afternoon, he turned to me and he said, "Val, I'm going to prophesy to you now." He said, "One day you are going to be in full-time ministry." I've never forgotten that. Never forgotten it. He said, "God will take you to places that you haven't even thought about." God spoke to me through the prophetic word. And God still speaks that way today. He can speak through a song. How many times have you put a CD on, a Christian CD, when you've been feeling down and maybe a bit weary? And you've listened to the word of God being sung. And somehow it's got into your spirit. And something happens deep within. When we come to worship in our gatherings, and I know you've heard me say this before, so many times before, but I'm a great believer in worship. Because in worship, we are also doing warfare. And I'm constantly saying to people, when we worship, we are not just singing songs. We have to think about the words that we are singing, because they can change us, they can transform us. And there's one song that gets in my spirit. And no matter how down I may feel sometimes, if I've come to church feeling a little low, or maybe not feeling 100%. And when we've sang that song, and the words go like this, "I'm no longer a slave to fear." Listen, people, we are not slave to fear. The enemy would seek to heap it upon us. But we don't have to be slaves to fear. And when it comes to that voice where it says, "In my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. And now your blood runs through my veins." Praise God this morning. Listen, people, when you came to Jesus Christ, the moment you gave your life to Him, at that moment the blood of Jesus Christ began to run through your veins. And His DNA is within us this morning. Oh, if we could just grasp hold of that. His DNA is within us. And so you see, God can speak to you. He can speak to you through a song. And of course He speaks to us through His word. That's why it's so important, people. No matter how busy we are, that we get the word of God within us. It's God's will for our lives. If someone left you in their will, you would want to know what was in it. Because it concerns you. You are going to inherit good things. And so we have to get the word of God within us. And so many Christians are so lax in this area. God speaks to us through the written word and through the preaching of His word. Now the Bible has many illustrations of God speaking to individuals. We're not always told on how He's spoken or where He spoke, but He did speak. And I'm just going to share a few with you. In Genesis 22, we read about Abraham, how God spoke to Abraham. He showed him the stars. He said, "Hey, Abraham, just come outside the tent here with me. I've got something to show you." And Abraham went outside the tent and he said, "Look at the sky." He said, "Look at all these stars, Abraham." And Abraham looked and he said, "Wow." And God said, "Abraham," He said, "do you know," He said, "I'm going to give you more children than the stars you can count." He said, "Abraham," He said, "I've made you a father of a multitude." Notice He didn't say, "I will make you." He said, "I have made you." You know, there are some things that are happening now in our life, and God is at work in your life, but you can't always see it. And Abraham couldn't see it at this time. But God said, "I have made you. I have." He spoke to Joseph in the Old Testament in a dream. He spoke to Gideon in Judges chapter 6. It says, "The angel of the Lord came to Gideon. And the angel of the Lord said, 'Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver Israel from the hands of the Midianites.'" I love Gideon. But you know, Gideon was a weak man. And he said, "No, no, Lord, not me, not me. I can't do that. Get somebody else. Choose somebody else. That's beyond me." And God said, "No, Gideon." He said, "I want you. I'm speaking to you." And God said, "The Lord is with you, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." You see, Gideon couldn't see it himself. He couldn't see his own potential, but God could. And He said, "Gideon, what you can't do in your own strength, you'll do it in My strength. And I am the one that will enable you." And you know, people, this morning, God is constantly speaking to us. And He's saying, "I want you to do this. I'm asking you to do that. I want you to go there. And we're constantly saying, no, Lord, not me, I can't. And we make 1,001 excuses why we shouldn't do it. And all the time God is saying, I'm wanting to make you a mighty woman of valor. A mighty man of valor. Because I can see your potential. Mary had a visit from an angel in the New Testament. It says the angel of the Lord came to her and spoke to her and said, Mary, you are going to be with child. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you and you will bring forth a babe and his name will be called Jesus. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. What about Saul on the road to Damascus? He persecuted so many Christians. And all of a sudden he heard a noise which would have sounded like a roll of thunder to anyone else. But it was God speaking to him. And he encountered God. And God transformed him. And made him into a mighty follower of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What about the time? Way back in the beginning. When God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke the world into being. He said, let there be light. And there was light. He gave the moon, the sun, the stars their place. He spoke the word. And creation came together. The world was formed through the word of his mouth. And then there was the time in the storm when the disciples were in the boat. You know, Jesus never worried. He never worried about anything. And he was at the back of the boat, the Bible says. He was fast asleep. He wasn't lay awake wondering, well, what will I do if a storm arrives? Or what if the boat tips over? What if we all drown? He had no ifs. He was always at peace, at rest. And the Bible says he was at the back of the boat sleeping. And then suddenly, from nowhere, a storm arose. Have you ever had times like that? When everything's been going just right and then suddenly a storm arose in your life. And what do? We panic. We cry. We lie awake at night. We can't sleep. We take tablets. This anxiety. We're all alike. Me as well. And that's what happened with the disciples. They went to Jesus. And they said, Master, wake up. They said, don't you care that we perish? They were mad with him. They said, don't you care, Father, Master, that we perish? And what did Jesus do? He looked at them and he said, oh, ye of little faith. And it says that Jesus stood up. And he faced his battle. He stood up with the authority that was within him. And he spoke to the wind and the waves. And he said, peace, be still. You know, whatever situation you are in this morning, God is speaking, peace be still. You see, we don't like things to get out of our control. We tend to be control freaks, don't we? We like to have our finger on everything. But you see, in order for God to work his purposes in us and through us, through the trials of life that we come across, there comes a time when we have to let go. We have to let go. So that God can bring peace into the situation. Now, it might not be for us in the big things of life, like some of the things I've mentioned this morning. But you know this, in our everyday life, God is speaking to us. It may be that we don't recognize it. The promptings of God very often come on a daily basis. But we're so busy doing this, that and the other that more often than not, we're not tuned in to what God is saying to us. It might be that God is telling you to go and speak to a certain person. It might be that God is saying to you, pray, go and pray for a certain person. I remember when we were in Ulverston in the United Kingdom. And one Sunday morning I was sat in church just worshipping. And as clear as anything, the Lord told me to go and pray for a woman. And I went and prayed for her and she got wonderfully healed. And time and time and time again, I can give you illustration after illustration how God has prompted me to go and do something. I was at the airport, I think I shared this with you, so I'm not going to go into the full story, but I was going to look after my mother at the airport. I think the Lord gave me an airport ministry because every time I was going, there was always someone that I got talking to that I was able to share the Lord with and help. And this particular lady, I'd been talking to her before we boarded. And then once we got on the plane and people were beginning to come on, and the Lord said to me, I want you to go and tell that woman, that lady, that I have a plan and a purpose for her life. I went to her and I said, excuse me. I said, but I feel the Lord wants me to tell you that he has a plan and a purpose for your life. That woman just burst into tears and she wept. And she said, you don't know what that means to me. She said, I can't believe that you've said that. It's a longer story, but she said, I'm taking my mother to England to her childhood's friend's 90th birthday. She said, this trip has been arranged for a long time. But she said, just 2 weeks before I'm due to fly, I found out I've got cancer. And she said, I've had this fear that I'm going to die. She said, and you've come to me and said that God has a plan and a purpose for my life. Listen, when we speak into people's lives, when we obey God, we don't know what we're doing for people. We don't know what we're doing for people. It might be just a simple thing like the Lord, you sat there watching TV and you might feel this prompting of the Holy Spirit and the Lord say, you need to call so-and-so. She's not been well. Encourage her. Or you need to send her a card or a letter. A word of encouragement goes a long way, people. This is church we're talking about. This is real church. Listening to the voice of the Spirit of God and then being obedient to what he tells us to do. Now, when Jesus was in the temple, it says the devil came and tempted him. And the devil said to Jesus, he said, if you're the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. And Jesus replied and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's powerful. I'll say that again. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you know that words are important? We've said this many, many, many times. What we speak, what we confess, what we say to each other, how we treat each other. You know, once you've spoken something, it's out there. You can't take it back. And there's been many children damaged through things that have been said to them when they were young, that they've carried over into adult life. We have to watch what we speak. I'm going to read something that I think is quite powerful. This is my granddaughter. Last year I went and watched her get baptized. But this was her testimony that she read out. She'd been going through a very difficult time, as teenagers do. And there'd been some friends that had, you know what teenagers are like, and they'd been getting on to her. And this is what she wrote at the age of 15. A few people who, she introduces herself first and then she goes on to say, a few people who have had the most influence on my faith are my parents and my grandparents, and then she lists a number of friends that have helped her. And then she goes on to say, before I met Jesus, life felt like a complete mess, even though it wasn't that bad. I felt all alone, like I had no one to talk to when I was struggling with my faith. I felt like I couldn't really pray to God besides the normal thank you for my family and friends and to heal the sick. Whenever I turned to him, I got impatient and couldn't really hear or necessarily understand what he was saying. I let myself put up barriers between him and I, which distanced me from him. When I met Jesus, it was amazing. It was a rush of emotions as he opened my eyes and showed me I wasn't alone. He showed me that there were people who felt the same way, standing right in front of me. He took the people who were tearing me down and replaced them with people who built me up. He introduced new people in my life that I can talk to when I have doubts and who are helping me grow stronger spiritually. Since I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am becoming a completely different person spiritually. The walls I put up are going away. I am not afraid to talk to someone when I have doubts anymore. The tangled up knot my life felt like has started untangling, and God is laying out clear paths before me. I feel comfortable talking to God, praying to him. I'm reading the Bible again every day. And that's why I came here today to profess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Listen to me, people, this morning. This is what she put. He took the people who were tearing me down and replaced them with people that built me up. Be careful who you mix with. Be with the people that do you good and that build you up. And you, let me encourage you this morning to be an uplifter yourself. Don't talk negative. Cut out the gossip. Just concentrate on building people up and doing good to each other. I'm going to finish in a few moments. But you know, if we are going to hear the whispers of God, if we are going to hear the voice of God, then we have to get close to him. Some people say God's trying to speak. No, he isn't trying to speak. He speaks. God is speaking to us all the time, but we're so busy rushing around that we miss his voice. We have to learn to listen. In Psalm 46, verse 10, the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." The International Standard Bible puts it like this: "Be in awe and know that I am God." Listen, if we are in awe of anyone, we're looking at them. We're focused. And as Christians, we can be taken up with so many things that we miss that vital time with God. Bill Hybels said that the things that are most important in my life, I make time for. We were watching a video at the ministers' conference in England 2 weeks ago. And I tell you, I had tears running down my face, and so did many other ministers and church leaders. As we watched the video clip, we had a preacher from Cairo, and he was telling us how there's a great move amongst Muslims coming to Christ. And he put this video clip up, and most of them were converted Muslims. And they were there and they were crying out to God with their arms raised. And they were weeping and crying out for more of God, interceding for the people. If we want to hear the voice of God leading us and guiding us, we have to be still and be close enough to hear. We heard yesterday of East Timor. We called Pastor Ray to see how he was doing. And he was telling us about a minister that had been to his home and showed him clips, live clips, first-hand news of what's happening in East Timor. Churches are springing up everywhere. People are coming to Christ like, I don't know what. And he said, the amazing thing is, he said, they're putting so much into the children and they're training the children. They're saying, you know, showing them and teaching them about the power of God to save, to heal, to baptize in the Holy Ghost. And he said, Pastor Ray said, Rick Seawood, he showed me on his phone. He said, and there were young children going out there praying for other sick children. He said, and they were getting healed by the power of God. These are miracles, people. These are things that are happening today in 2017. These are the things that I want to see in my lifetime. These are the things that I'm yearning for this place. But it won't come if we're just apathetic. It won't come if we're just laid back. We have to do something about it. It only comes through prayer and intercession and hearing the voice of Almighty God. But instead, we're taken up with things that don't really matter. We have to be serious people in these days. It breaks my heart. I want to see things happen. God speaks to us sometimes to break us out of our comfort zones. We'll put, like my husband's just said, we'll put anything and everything else first before we'll come and seek God at a prayer meeting. You know, people say, well, I can't come, Pastor, because I've got this and I go there on a Tuesday and I do this on a Wednesday. Well, cancel it for 1 week. We probably have three times a year, 3 nights of prayer and fasting. If it's anything we can cancel, then cancel it just to be here. The things that are most important in my life are the things I make sure that I do. What's more important in your life? You see, if we'll seek God and we position ourselves, we have to position ourselves for God to work in us and through us. And once we position ourselves and the Holy Spirit starts to flow through us, He'll take care of our family. He'll make us a better wife. He'll make us a better mother. He'll make us a better husband, a better father. Because as God works in us and through us, He'll make us into the image of Himself. And that's when love and faith and authority will begin to flow through us, from us unto others. But we have to be willing to position ourselves in order for God to do that. When was the last time you spent time on your knees? I want to challenge you this morning. When was the last time you spent time on your knees just waiting in the presence of God? You say, oh, Val, I haven't got time for that. I've got this to do and that to do. And God all the time is saying, be still. I just want you to be still. And know that I am God. How are you going to know if you're not still? When was the last time that you said to your children, look, I'm going in the other room, I'm going to my room, and I'm going to be half an hour or as long as it takes. Maybe only 10 minutes, but as long as it takes, please don't disturb me unless it's a matter of life and death. Because I'm going to wait on the Lord. When was the last time you turned off your favorite television program and said, Lord, you're more important to me than this? I want you to just bow your heads a moment, and I'm going to finish with a very powerful illustration. There's a well-known preacher in America called Francis Frangipane. We've read many of his books. We've quoted them many times. And when he was first in the ministry, he pastored a small church. And he says in his book that, he says, my times with God were so precious. He said, I would push things to one side, I would cancel things, I would do all kinds of things to have that time alone with God. He said, I would look forward to it every morning. He said, I would put on my worship music. He said, I'd get up extra early, put on my worship music, and just wait in the presence of God. He said, and tears would stroll down my face as God would minister into my spirit. He said, it was just me and Him. Him and me. And he said, and as my church started to grow, God began to bless. The church began to grow and it got bigger and bigger. He said, I got busier and busier. He said, and then because of the church growing at such a rate, he said, I got well known around the world and people were asking me to go and preach here, there and everywhere. He said, I was running everywhere. He said, and then he said, my time with God, the more busy I got, the less time I spent in the presence of God. One day, he said, I was in my office at the church and an elder came in and he knocked on the door and he said, Pastor, He said, I believe the Lord has given me a word for you. Oh, come in, said Pastor Francis. I'll be delighted to hear what God has to say. And the elder fumbled around a bit. He didn't quite know how to tell him. And he said, Pastor Francis, this is what I believe the Lord wants me to tell you. He said, the Lord said, tell Francis, I miss him. Tell Francis, I miss him. And I tell you, when I read that, I started to weep. Because you see, I was a wife. I was a mother. I was a pastor's wife, just a young pastor's wife. I was trying to please everybody. I was trying to keep all the plates spinning. But I didn't have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And when Francis wrote that and I read it, the Lord said to me, Val, I miss you too. I miss you. And God is saying to you this morning, he misses you. He misses you. Father, this morning, will you take this word? And Lord, will you let it do its own work within each heart here this morning? Father, we want to hear you speak more and more. We want to hear that still small voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. We want, Lord, for you to guide us so that when we wake in the morning, we say, Lord, do whatever you want with us today. Show us, speak to us. Let us hear your whispers. Drawing us closer to yourself. Time is short. And Lord, we haven't time to mess around. Father, you said that in the last days you'll pour out your spirit upon all flesh. But Father, we have to be ready to receive that, which you are going to do. Bring us into that place, Lord, I pray. Oh God, I pray even this week with these prayer meetings, Lord, that you will draw each one of us, that we will come and see the urgency of the times in which we live, and that we will see the need to pray and to intercede and to seek you with all our hearts. Lord, you said those that seek me will find me. If we will search for you, with all our hearts. Let your word abide in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.